All right, joining us on 93 WIBC, Marion County Prosecutor Ryan Mears. Ryan, earlier this morning, you guys announced charges against Elias Dorsey, attempted murder, criminal confinement, murder, and battery for all of the things that happened on the day where Officer Breanne Leith was shot and killed. Take us through your decision-making about how you guys decided to come up with those charges there.
Yeah, so we really just looked at the facts in their totality, and we have multiple victims in this case. And fortunately, we're in the position where we're able to get firsthand accounts of what took place both inside the apartment and outside the apartment from the surviving victim on the attempt murder case involving the young woman whose apartment where all of this occurred, as well as the surviving officers. And it really painted a pretty clear picture of what took place. In addition to that, we also had the statement from the defendant himself where he described what took place in the apartment from his perspective and his point of view. And after considering all that, we thought it was appropriate to file not only the murder charge and the attempt murder charge with the victim inside the apartment, but as well as the officers who were on the exterior of the apartment responding to the 911 call.
What was his point of view from what you guys, when you guys talked to him? What did he say he was seeing? What did he say he was, you know, going through there?
Yeah, you know, his perspective is certainly a little bit different than the police officer's perspective, but he was clearly in an agitated state. There was a 911 call, and he was concerned about individuals potentially pursuing him or wanting to get him. And I think that had him on high alert. And because of that, he responded very aggressively when he heard a knock at the door.
Did he think police officers were out to get him, or did he think that other people besides police were out to get him?
And that part's a little unclear. You know, we're relying a lot on the information that Mr. Dorsey's providing as it relates to his state of mind. You know, I think when you look at the objective facts and the circumstances of the case, he was clearly aware that there was a 911 call made from that apartment and that police officers were responding. And then when the officers responded, that's when the shots were fired.
What do you think his state of mind was like at the time, or are you even clear about what it was?
Yeah, I think we're still in that point where we're trying to gather additional information about what took place and what, you know, kind of what his background is in terms of any pre-existing mental health issues, things of that nature. And that's something that you know, we're only going to be able to have an opportunity to comment on that further down the line once we have more information available to us and he's had the opportunity to be examined by healthcare professionals.
Who else was injured in this shooting? Obviously, we know Officer Leith was killed, but who else was injured in this? What, take us through that part.
Yeah, so there was a woman. It was actually her apartment, and she was in a relationship with the defendant, and she sustained some pretty significant injuries. She was shot multiple times. In addition, there was a confrontation inside the house, inside the residence, where it is alleged that Mr. Dorsey also physically harmed her prior to the gunshots. And fortunately for us and fortunately for the community, that woman was able to survive her injuries, and she's been cooperative and provided information to the police.
And he shot in the direction of officers. It's your belief that he did that, correct?
Yes. So it is alleged, as outlined in the probable cause affidavit, that he fired multiple shots through that door when the officers were standing outside the door. There's four officers there, and tragically, Officer Leith was struck by a couple of the bullets.
When you guys, I know you mentioned earlier this morning that you're considering, you know, life without parole and possibly the death penalty. I know you guys a long way off from deciding that, but what's kind of going to play into your decision making there to decide which direction you want to go?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, we need to have a conversation with the family and get their perspective and their thoughts and feelings in terms of where they're coming from and what they would like to see happen. And then after that, I think you perform the legal analysis. Is it appropriate under the circumstances? And so we have to look at the statutory aggravators. It's clearly outlined what our criteria needs to be. In terms of, you look at the defendant's mental health history, his criminal history, as well as kind of the facts and circumstances of the case. And then I think at that point in time, you can make a better determination as to whether or not life without parole or the death penalty is appropriate.
So for those who maybe aren't quite familiar with how the legal system works from this point, take us through now. You filed these charges. Now what happens in this case next?
Yeah, so the first thing is he needs an attorney. In May 6th, the defendant has a review of counsel, so that's kind of the next agenda item on the list. And for us, the next part of the process is making that determination as to whether or not life without parole or the death penalty is appropriate. The statutory death penalty aggravator in this place, this case, would be obviously the loss of life of a law enforcement officer is an appropriate aggravator to consider for the death penalty. And then we also have a duty and obligation to consider mitigating factors that may exist with the defendant. And so we'll consider all of those issues, get with the Leith family as well as IMPD and other individuals in law enforcement to try to get a complete perspective. And then we'll make that determination as to whether or not it's death penalty or life without parole. And if we do make that decision, that changes the complexion of the case and the length of time it will take to litigate this case.
Unrelated question. I know you've mentioned this in your press release, but what kind of effect is COVID-19 having on the work that you guys need to do, not only in cases like this, but other cases where you have to prosecute?
Yeah, so right now we're not in a position where we're able to conduct jury trials. And so obviously that's impaired our ability to resolve cases. And so we're not able to resolve nearly as many cases as we would like to be able to do so. Because of that, we are all still working here in terms of making sure that cases are filed, responding and being good partners with law enforcement, as well as making sure that we're still in a position to serve the community. But kind of the bread and butter of what we do is trying cases and going to court and doing jury trials. And unfortunately, we're not in a position to do that. It's not safe to ask the community to come down here to make a determination or to sit on a jury. And so that's really slowed down our ability to resolve cases over the last 6 weeks now.
All right. He is Marion County Prosecutor Ryan Mears. Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate it.